church of God. For joyful living in a world that's not filled with joyful. What do you think joy is? I talk about that in a minute. But we have watched several videos that's from this series. So in particular dealing with the word of Jesus. Last week, the one that we watched actually fit in with
And she's not there again. I wonder if they're chasing her. They got a call together for that Christmas tree.
Where that shepherd was just looking. And I don't know if you saw it in his eyes, but it was there. There was just a certain joy there. I think it's also portraying the fact that he just took off running. Remember, he's been walking around with a crutch every time we see him. If you notice, the crutch was thrown down, and he's just humping it. And then he put those other three shepherds who came with him because they basically, you know, are pushing through to get to see what they've been told about by the angels. Each one of them rushed by his shoulder and kind of gave him a little nudge as they are making their way to get to see what's going on. Go back and listen again to what Luke said. The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior of Christ the Lord. This will be your sign. You'll find that baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." The angel sang or said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." What does it mean to be joyful? What does it mean to have that kind of joy at Christmas, or for that matter, every day? When we think about the fact that God has sent his Son into the world for us, what does it look like? I don't know if you heard, but these guys were smiling and laughing. listening to voices. They took off air. They were ready to go. We talk a whole lot about cheerfulness at Christmas time, don't we? But sometimes joy is not just cheerfulness. Sometimes joy is just that simple contentedness that doesn't come along with us. I think most people, when they think about joy, they think about happiness. You know, we all think that we need to be happy. Sometimes, in fact, and hopefully many times, joy does in fact involve happiness. But did you notice how that shepherd waited? He had a crutch. Did you notice Mary's face in the middle of childbirth? How difficult it was for her on her face. She was sweating, perspiring, and you know, there's a couple ladies in the house know, probably, or mothers, I should say, not know, that that's a painful event. But still the shepherd smiles, still the shepherd laughs, and when the baby, he drops his crutches, and when the baby comes along, Mary seems to be content. Yes, sometimes joy involves being happily or cheerfully content, but I want you to pay attention to the fact that that's not always true. I want to take you back to some scriptures we've covered the last few weeks, just three of them. I want you to listen, and I want you to try to figure out where would you be at first if you were in Mary's shoes.
In the 6th month,
this is Luke 1, we get in 26 verse. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin who was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at his saying. Stop right there for a minute. Did you hear what it said? She's a virgin, the angel comes, she's blessed, she's troubled at what it said. You would be troubled too. She tried to discern what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid." Remember, we're talking about joy today. We're talking about when that contentedness in Christ comes along and what it looks like. Mary's afraid. Mary's trying to figure out what's happening. And the angel is saying, "Mary, you don't have to be afraid. Go favored when the Lord is with you." She's troubled at this saying. Says, "Mary, don't be afraid. You've been found to have faith with God. You're going to conceive in your mind. And you're going to bear a son. And you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." I want you to stop and think about this. I'm a virgin. And an angel appears to me. It says, "Don't be afraid." "What do you be afraid?" And the angel says, "Your favor with God. You are so favored, Mary, you're going to have a child. The womb's going to be filled with a baby. And you're going to give that baby the name of Jesus. And guess what? He will sit on the throne of David." Wow. "He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign on the house of David forever. And his kingdom, amongst all the kingdoms of David, will never end." Mary gets down to the basics and travels back to the very most fundamental thought. How can this be? I'm a virgin. How can this be? I'm a virgin. The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child of the Lord will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her own age, has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month of her." And you should remember this phrase if you were here 2 weeks ago. "For nothing will be impossible with God." And you may remember 2 weeks ago what we talked about. The
handle of the people.
Mary has all of this thrown at her by this angel that shows up. And the angel finishes what the angel has to say. The angel says,
"There's two branches. One is you just do that for a long time. That's kind of a bad
thing." At that point, Mary has to
first contemplative time. And there's buff. You know, once we see those, circles on the back of the line, you would be more comfortable than eventually have that trap. You would take it only with you and the equipment and go see the engineers to be able to do that. Because now engineers all do engineering stations too. So that, but then you're then designing stuff. So there's kind of two paths. The other thing is, Buster does all the shipping and receiving and the building and all this other stuff. He does all the shipping and receiving. He's going to retire really soon, like maybe a year. That's a good position. You watch all the trucks come and go. You have to put on it. Everything that comes in has to be matched. And then it has to be put on the rack so that people know.
And you and I realize this is the world, and we have an expectation. I talk all the time
about being filled, so I don't know which job they're filling.
Gotcha. I expect him to be That's my hope. I expect him to take
the I don't know what Ben would be capable of. They almost need two positions because they're going to need Buster's replaced, too. But that, I'm not even looking at that yet. You know what I mean? But everybody would start off for like a year doing basically what I do. And then I move over to the assembly side. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot on the building.
Okay.
And then I retire in 3 years. Doing this at 65, I'm not sure. I really But in 4 years, I've been there 4 years in February. I've got 25.
Okay.
I'm taking up 10%. But I'm the youngest employee. I've been at 4 years. And they bought a company that made this. The owner of the company now works for them. So he's not the youngest. Or the least. He's been here 10 years. So they stayed. They've had a couple. Nobody's quit since I was there except those assistants. But sometimes they get somebody for like 4 years. And they go find a new job. I don't need a job, they'll fire you. I mean, it's. It's a right. Oh, he's been here for a while, you know. So, Brian's been there. Seven. And Brian's a superstar right now. He's building stuff. He orders the parts, finds out the best part to get the best price, and then he has spent weeks in the field. One year he spent 60 days in the field. One of our engineers spent 5 months in the field. And Ben, that was a big one. Yeah, and he could come home on the weekends, but the Chevy truck has 280,000 miles on it. Everything's either New Jersey, Pennsylvania, or Michigan, Wisconsin. Pretty much.
So it's within driving distance.
The 3 hours. It's a day. Because they never fly. They're always taking parts and equipment.
Gotcha.
And tools. So they're never going to fly.
Yeah, that could be expensive quick. That could get expensive quick.
You just have to carry
your tools. Remember, Jacob said they want their toy to be full, right?
But you travel with an engineer usually, or there's an engineer on site, so you're not inventing stuff.
Yeah. So if there's a question like, how are these two supposed to fit together? He's like, so turn it this way.
Okay. And there's also...
It's the joy handle. And I could have asked someone to do this, but I was preoccupied today, so I apologize.
The full-time position would be somewhere between $17 and $20, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. I don't understand what's going on.
On vacation, I'm not sure. Since I'm finally on a lot of vacation,
general holidays.
Yeah, oh yeah, I need to pay those. There's a fair amount of overtime. They try not to pay it, but yeah, it's a business.
It's
the end of the line.
And we are Christians in the world.
What else?
So if you're in the field, it kind of in the air, it becomes part of the deal. I'm assuming if you're out on the field, it kind of becomes part of the deal anyway. If you're out installing,
that's part of the deal.
Is it that you get overtime or probably? I imagine that you're
out. I imagine that. Yeah, because if you're out, I think you can buy your own truck.
Yeah, you don't have to imagine.
You and I, as a Christian, we're getting to the script that
you can use the shop tools and stuff, but a lot of times you end up just getting your own stuff because it's easier. You know, right where it's at.
And why is it that the news outlets, what they call the media, choose to set us up against each other and we let that happen? Why is the music that's popular these days so depressing?
Putting things together.
Why is it such a big job?
Here's how it goes together.
There's an engineer there.
Okay.
Like with Jeff. If it's a maintenance thing, Jeff knows how
this
to do it.
Okay.
And he took me in with him once.
Go figure this out.
No. Okay. No. And even doing the chemicals you're working on. What's up?
And who you are,
who you
wanted, you
just love to be in charge or something.
Is that good or bad?
No. That's good when you're starting. It gets
out.
I know I'm doing all the work. He's still telling me what to do. It gets old.
We all are. And
It's way off my comfort zone sometimes because I was an office worker. You know, I didn't drive a forklift around outside. I'm loading containers, going on the roof looking for leaks. We do everything. We maintain everything.
So, as far as like an entry job, are you looking at stepping up?
Well, skim the food. If they got the right person, just a few years younger than me, he's going to usually would need somebody who's a shop foreman. Buster doesn't have anybody according to him, but he's in charge of that whole area of shipping and receiving. And someone needs to do that. The engineers are all by themselves. It's really it's a six person shop. This would make it seven. And then with you get in charge of projects more than you get in charge of people.
Why is it that we're not having more effect than we do? I want you to know that as Christians,
projects have less problems than people. Projects have less problems than people.
We are hopefully expecting that he's coming back to fix it all and make it right. We are to live into the fact that peace is ours, that we can not only be content, we can be cheerful about it, we can be happy about it. Because peace came in Jesus. And we've been here in hope and peace, and likewise in joy to live in this brother's world. We shouldn't be so cynical. We shouldn't say that nothing matters when the reality is that everything matters. And we shouldn't put people into compartments and say these people don't matter what these because everyone matters. And that's the joy that God brings to us. Everything we've spoken, everything we have spoken, everything we've done, everything we have done, often we've seen through the lens that it matters. It does make a difference. I've got written in my notes here this word. The bigger question for me is not why do we not live that grateful life? The bigger question ought to be for us. Do we know that everybody around us is living that? Everybody that's got the mess in their life and that don't have the peace and don't have the hope. Has lost its taste. How could salt be restored? doesn't say he's cooking.
Excuse me.
I walked into the kitchen and she said, do you mind the expiration date of these two bags of, I don't know what it was, brickle, cardboard, whatever, I don't know. I looked all over that bag and you cannot find the expiration date. Why would they put an expiration date on that bag? Well, the code right here, you don't have the code. Yeah, well, why don't they tell you? And you can look at the bag. She said, I bought one this year, so I know one's got to go. The salt loses its saltiness. It's not good for anything but to be thrown out the street and trampled under people's feet. The only thing it's good for is to fill a pothole. Church. We're supposed to be salty. We're supposed to be changing that world. We're supposed to be making a difference where we are. Jesus follows up by saying this, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it in a basket, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Some of you have been coming here long before I ever got here. Some of you came along since I've been here. But most of you that are here, what do you know? Live in that independence, that hope, that peace in the face of everything. Because that life is what people are looking for. It's what can draw people to Him who died for us and died for them. In particular, this Christmas, let me just say to you that that kind of living can draw your friends and your family. Yeah.